Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. To ask your question, have I become more diva?
Yeah.
Do I have a little gingerbread man thing that I specially request? Bring me the gingerbread cup.
Christmas cup. Get through a podcast.
Here's the one thing that's made me a diva. Coyote.
The dog. Yeah.
Because it started by being like, I'm going to have a pet. And now it's like, I'm having a hard time going to Europe without bringing her. Like, I'm like,
It's not a diva.
It's not a diva.
It's codependent.
I'm so, dude, remember when you saw the...
Yeah, that's the only time you ever, that's my claim to fame in your comedy. That's the thing, the one thing I have written in Jordan's head of comedy.
Dan looked at the stairs that I have going to my bed where Coyote walks upstairs and goes...
Little plush.
And goes, that little plush staircase should be the symbol for codependency.
Yeah, it should. I don't. Enjoy.
We're here with Dan Janine. Dan Janine is one of my smartest friends. I love him so much. We never get to fucking see each other, but whenever we do a good brain meld.
Whenever we do, Jordan's making money off it somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we did the park, but I still used your arm for the dog.
We did the park.
Strongest throw in comedy.
Well, of comics.
Of comics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No,
I got that dog running.
We lost the ball a couple times.
Lost the ball. But I'm honored to be here. It is interesting. I do think that comfort corrupts. Like, it is the thing that you will constantly, you know, as someone who's doing well, you're constantly going to have to fight against it. Because the thing is this, right? Like, you get upgraded to first class now, I imagine.
I just buy it.
You just buy it? Good. But
I live in a studio that is $2.
No one's judging.
No one's judging. But this is my theory. I'm going to live in a studio because I'm never there. It's tiny. It's me and Coyote.
So you're saying your two-bedroom apartment is the first class seat?
Exactly.
Cool. All I'm saying is, like, the way you become a diva is that you get used to the first class seat and then you're miserable when you're sitting economy. When you, as a carpenter, would have been like, ooh, cool, a ticket to Chicago. How cool. Yeah. I'm going to sit in the back of the plane because I'm a person, of course. Yeah. And now you're like, God, I can't sit next to a person.
Well, my thing is I can be in
But the, that happens, the it most... happens to every human. So it's just, and that's why.
I think when you start off poor and get rich... the starter from the bottom, now we're here, people are the most toxic, like myself.
Yeah.
Because they've earned to be treated well because they've worked so hard to get there. So those people get particularly cruel.
The uber rich people the uber rich people, anyone with insecurity, I don't know, insecurity plus money equals toxic. That's all it is. If you're really secure and you feel like you
have... No, there's religious people that are comfortable. People who were raised with God in their life as a child are like giving and loving, and you can't even tell they're rich. When you have people like me who were manual laborers and they get money, all of a sudden they're like, bring me the wet towel.
Sure, you sure. Know? You think you're just like a rapper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'll make money, give money back to my family,
I have all my own projections of this because I kind of grew up with money, so like...
Not a snob.
But I'm so happy for you. So I'm like, you should have that fucking wet towel. If I ask for a wet towel, I'm like, I don't deserve this wet towel.
That's good. But that's why you're not a monster. I go, I deserve the wet towel.
You do deserve
the
wet towel.
I used to sling shit. We all deserve the wet towel.
And nobody deserves, whatever, who cares?
And nobody deserved to be yelled at to bring the wet towel. Because I used to be the person bringing the wet towel. Dude,
I also have brought the wet towel. I've also done that a lot.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But I forced myself to do those jobs.
You didn't have to?
I mean, I probably could have done any. I could have gone to work for some friend's dad in some bank or something
it's
like
good
that.
You know this.
Oh,
I was in a walk-in freezer at the cellar.
Yeah,
and I was looking around at like all the like limes, and I was like, "This is so familiar." And this was like such a massive chapter of my life was just being in walk-in coolers, pulling out limes, cutting them for you know what I mean. And I was like, "This is crazy."
Yeah,
that I'm just going back here to steal a Diet Coke. And not going back here to serve a Diet Coke.
It was crazy. It brought back everything?
Yeah. The olfactory, like, smell of a walk-in. It was crazy. And same with, like, I mean, carpentry. I never thought I was going to do carpentry only on my own house. And now I'm doing that, which is crazy.
Which is cool.
It's very cool. It also, can I say this? I'm not able to feel okay. Every time, like today I was online and I saw this girl who talks like me, doing well at stand-up. Talks like a bro, and I just started spiraling out. I was like, I'm immediately going to become irrelevant. Like this, I'm going to hit my peak and crash off, and I have to make plans like to be a beekeeper for something like that. Like I don't want to become an old woman talking about my pussy on stage. I can't. So there's no enjoyment of doing well. I have to stack paper so that I can flee and disappear. I want to take Natara away. She did the best.
She just to bounce.
She bounced. Got two twins. Fell in love with a woman.
Well, that's a funny ego thing, too, that I think about a lot, because, like, a lot of times the comedians will be like, oh, that guy just stopped doing it. But, like, what's happening is that guy's at his house with his family.
Yeah.
He's way happier than you are. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That is so crazy that you worry about that.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah. Becoming irrelevant. It is good to hear this, that people you think are very funny are still watching Instagram reels of people and being like, oh, I can't believe how many likes that one got.
Dude, my clips bomb all the
time.
Not
your own. I mean, other people's.
Oh, yeah. Other people's. I mean, when it's somebody who's literally doing like a Jordan impression.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
There's two, in my opinion, there's two Gillis. We're a little past Gillis for the guys, but Jordan Jensen is the impression right now.
Really?
I think so. Yeah, I've only hanging out at a little lower levels than you. I think so.
Really, girls are dressing like boys.
Or maybe it's just because, like, I'm friends with you. I wouldn't even say it's the attire, but it's the, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's your whole former apartment school of comedy.
Yes. You know? Yeah. The bro. The Brooklyn bro.
Let me tell you. What?
Yeah. It's like acting a little high. But that's also Soder.
It is all. Right, I'm just saying that I don't actually. It's just that people are not themselves enough, and if they really work hard, they'll become more and more themselves. But they're just doing what works. They see that it's working for you, and they're just emulating it. And it's not malish.
No, it's not malish.
Not malish.
But there is a part of me that's like, I don't want to be touring a Vegas comedy club when I'm 50. I just don't want
to
do that.
I had a funny one today that I saved to tell you.
What is it?
My relationship thing that I thought of a couple days ago is, if I have to use reading glasses to use Hinge, I'm gonna kill myself.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah,
that's really good. Raya, I see a lot of older.
Well, whatever. Reading people. Glasses. If you're swiping with reading glasses on, like if you have to going put like the reading glasses on to like.
Are you not dating again? Oh my god.
You're just as bad as I am.
I'm just as bad as you. Is it just?
But I guess it's your podcast. So.
But you're not on or off. You're in limbo.
We're off. We are off.
Last time I saw you, I was running into you on the train, and you're like, I am in love again. I've re.
Dude, I was.
And then
I am.
You went
I don't
back
know.
Into avoidant.
I've started the attachment books for the first time. I've
Good
done
job.
Every. But I will say, now that I've done every other mental health thing in the world, attachment book writing, not as good.
What do you mean?
The specific writing of the attachment book is a little hack, yeah.
You mean the book Attached?
Yeah.
Attached is very hack. And the other thing that fucks me up about Attached is I'm an anxiously attached in an avoidant with an avoidant. And the whole book the whole time is being like, just don't do it. Just stop.
Look, our writing's not that good, but if we could say one
thing. Yes, please. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to keep going because I love it.
Yeah. Sure.
But it's hard. I mean, it is. It's also, I get avoidance. Like, because my sister's an avoidant. I easily could have been an avoidant if I had gotten a little bit more damage. Uh-huh. But because my parents were able to show me some love and then take it away, I became anxious. But I totally get how if that little bit of love was gone, that I'd be like, I don't want any, but instead I'm Gollum and I want it.
You want it. Yeah.
Do you think
that, of course, does the dog help?
Bro, the battle of dog versus man in bed. Like who I'm cuddling with is epic.
Who I'm cuddling
with. Epic. I mean, today the dog got kicked out of the bed because man is very sick, high fever.
Man, right, great.
And I had to be like, listen, we have the AC turned so high up because you have a high fever. Coyote is cold. And we
That
had to,
seems fair.
Yeah.
But let me, like, if all you want is, like, do you find your desperation for love, like, eased a little bit with
100%.
The dog?
100%. Coyote saved my goddamn life.
Great.
I never could have gotten through the steps.
Let me ask you something. What, you did the step work?
Yeah.
Okay.
If I didn't have Coyote, I mean.
I've looked into that a little.
Yeah.
I will ask you, like, do you think, you think she saved your life?
Well, totally, because it gives you a mission of love. Like, you're like, this is something you get. Because I'm a 34-year-old woman. There's a part of me that is like, have a child, take care of a child, have unconditional love. Yeah, but I cannot do that. So Coyote definitely was like,
you could
protect. How?
Fucking, you know.
Here's what I would do. I would adopt a feral child that was raised by a pack of wolves.
It doesn't have to be feral.
No, like, feral.
You want to be masochistic about it. You could just have a nice child.
No, those don't exist. They always have crackhead moms.
Mm-hmm. I had a good question and I completely forgot it. Fuck. Anyway, whatever.
About dog?
No.
About steps?
No.
About relationship?
About...
You're a nitpicker?
No,
sorry,
no, no, no.
Be doesn't racist.
Matter. Yeah. I had a... never mind. Okay. Anyway.
Nitpicker does sound like a slur for Jew.
I was watching a... There was a memorial service that I went to last night. That was nice. But a black man gave a speech, and it was nice, and it was funny. And then the guy who went up after him said... I shouldn't say this, but you're one funny ass word that rhymes with bigger.
No way.
Yeah.
Was he white?
Yeah. He didn't say the word. He said word that rhymes with bigger.
Did people laugh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. That's what my grandfather said about Obama, but he didn't. He said the actual word. He went, that's one smart ass beep.
And it's funny.
He was like, that's one smart beep.
And it's confusing, like, wow, when it comes with a compliment.
I know. Wait, you were going to say attached is bad writing.
Attached is bad writing.
And you said I saved something for you.
I know, and now I can't remember it.
What was it? Did it just happen? You were reading the book?
It was to do with it doesn't matter. Okay.
Did you avoid yourself out of the relationship?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So you anxious yourself back in and then it avoided your way back out?
No, it's not that simple.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying is they're like, there's three types of people, okay? And then there's the rare one who's avoidant and anxious.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. Like.
Yeah, but I don't believe in those. That's my hot take. They're not real. Because people will go, I'm anxious and avoidant. And you know what they are? Liars. Because here's what they do. They go, I want to break up with you. But they don't mean it. They're just trying
just
to get you.
It sounds like you're schizo if you're both of those things.
You're not.
If you're both in one person.
Yeah, it's not real.
Yeah.
Because if I'm anxious, I'm just going to break up with you to make you fight for me.
And I'm mad I forgot this thing and I can't get over it, okay?
Okay.
I'm not going to be fun until I remember it. Or we need to change.
I tried.
We need to change the subject. It can't be in this realm.
I tried to find it and you kept being like,
I'm not blaming you for anything.
Okay,
I'm
we
just
can
saying.
Do this. I'm good at tracking things.
No.
You
it's
said,
to do with it occurred to me when you were in the bed with the boy and the dog. With the man and the dog and the dog and the man superseded the dog for today because he's sick. But and then it was something to do with that. And
he got
I don't
sick.
Remember. I don't remember.
I
was briefly annoyed that he was sick and you're here and I'm going to get sick. And then
I saw that. I saw
that
go over your face. I was sick first.
Great. Perfect then. I'm clear. Well, either way. I feel like there's a weird unspoken thing in comedy where it doesn't matter.
Dude, I've been racked with COVID and coughed
with
my
COVID.
Friends.
Yeah. Not... Yeah.
No, this is just, run of the mill.
But you just have to accept it, which is fine. Which is would not.
It
I wouldn't.
Sucks. It sucks. It fucking sucks.
Let me tell you, I have a red light panel now and I don't get sick anymore. You should get a red light panel.
What's that?
Like just one of those panels, like the red light therapy thing that you just blast in the morning for a bit. And I don't get sick anymore. Yeah.
I have one, but it's
have
like.
Have you heard about the studies with COVID where they brought some of those people that were dying? This is.
Oh, God.
They brought some of these people that were dying of COVID, like going to die. They brought them just out into the sun, and many of them recovered when they were in the hospitals.
Really?
They wheeled them all in out into the sun. They're like, we have one more. Or like, because you can't sell sunlight, That's really the problem.
Oh, dude, that's what I was saying to sick man. I was like, just walk in the park with me. You will feel better.
Dude, he will.
He wouldn't, though. I couldn't. I was pulling him and dragging him. He wouldn't get up. So then I opened the window, and I had the clue, But I'm trying. But it is. I know you have to get outside. You have to get sun. You have to dry it out.
Yeah.
It's the same reason every time I go to California, I feel better than I've ever felt. This city is the devil city.
It's the worst
in
city in the world. It's the best, but it's the worst city. It's the worst for relationships. It's the absolute worst. I think if people... The good people are the people that are only here for 3 or 4 years. They come.
I've been here for like 10.
No, but we're fucked because we're in entertainment. Yeah. But they come, they do a job for a bit, they meet someone, and then they move to Connecticut. I think that a lot of the men want to move upstate because they just don't want to be around all the women because they know life is harder around the women. But they're like, oh yeah, I want a backyard for my kids. I just think that they want to get off the streets because you don't want to see all the tits.
Oh, there's too many tits, huh?
Yeah.
Are you distracted by the tits?
Too many tits.
There's a lot of tits.
Tits aren't really, but you just get distracted. You just think, you plan, it's,
oh, yeah, as an avoidant, it's hard. You think of other things.
Get your fortune cookies out of here. Let me finish the fucking book first. This thing, the thing is about these books.
Get your fortune cookies out of here.
It was printed, it looks like shit, and it's gotten very popular, but like this is the kind of book that you know, you meet your mom's friend at a party, and they're like, I wrote a book. And they're like, it's just available on Kindle. And then you write it. That's the level of writing that this book
is. It's horrible writing, but they did it so that retards could read it.
They're never going to sponsor your pod now.
I don't need.
That'd
I don't
be a fun,
want them
that'd
to.
Be a fun sponsorship. This podcast
Schedule
is sponsored
35
by.
Is a sick sponsor. Keep sending me those boxes.
By Amir. I don't remember the other. Amir and Rachel. You know, I think that's who the authors are. Right. That's the only.
How
I
do you
their
know
first
that?
Names? Amir and Rachel. Well,
it's
I remember looking at it. And I'd be like, they solved the Middle East.
attached.
Yeah.
They're attached.
They're
now.
Attached. It's a two body solution. Anyway.
But. Yeah, I agree. You got to get out of New York. I mean, I was walking down the street, saw a sign, saw a billboard where a guy had like a white albino alligator with a choker on it. And it was like an ad. I was like, this is animal abuse. Then walked by Equinox where it had all those, that cupping ad.
Done with Equinox.
Equinox is scary.
Yeah, my theory on Equinox now. Yeah, the cupping ad.
Yeah.
The people, they have the marks all over their back. And what did they say? Is it just...
It says commit to something.
Commit to something.
And she's got the red light on her face.
Yeah, right. I've done all the things, but...
Have you cupped?
I've never cupped.
It's not real. It can't be real.
Have you cupped?
No.
Cupping seems
I think
alley.
Somebody cupped against my will. And I was like, oh, they cupped.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. It was that. It was
a professional.
Yeah, it was a professional. Giving you a service. It was a chiropractor. No, he gave it to me for free. I said to post a video.
I'm sure he did. Yeah. You said you'd post a video?
Yeah. Of me getting cracked.
Did it go up?
Yeah, it went up.
How were your cracks?
Pretty good. My cracks are good, but I crack myself, so it's not
Dude,
that good.
I had a whole
are
break.
You a crack?
I had a whole breakthrough about cracks.
Tell
cracks
me.
And picking my nose.
You're a nose picker?
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Really?
Yeah, but I don't eat it. Do you eat it?
I used to.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I never ate it, but I pick all the time. I got to get it out. It's got to be clean. The ridge has got to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, thank God I got over that. But
I never saw you pick your nose. Just so you know.
You know, but it was getting more and more common because the thing is, unless you get punched in the face for it, you keep believing that you're doing it without getting caught.
Yeah. But what was the cracking thing? Oh, you were this
Dude,
guy?
Dude, all of this thing. No, all of. Okay, I went to a hypnotist. And
you went to a hypnotist and did ayahuasca?
I've done it all.
Tell me
I'm
the hypnotist. Let's
year.
Get into the
I'm
hypnotist.
I'm having my year.
You look better.
Do I?
Yeah, you look healthier. You have more skin color.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, what's
right.
that? You have more. What am I trying to say?
I mean, I'm flush. I ran here to get here on time. I bolted.
And then I was 20 minutes late?
You were 15 late. Which
was
you, were, you were sending texts like you were going to be an hour late.
I just feel so bad. I never get here on time. It's crazy. Wait, but talk about hypnotism. Walk me through it.
Well, okay. Here was my intro to hypnotism was just I was like, this shit is kind of – I'm not into – it's stupid. It's you know, angel dusty. But then I was like, okay, I don't want to pick my nose anymore and I crack my thumbs too much. So I was like, what if I go in for something easy? Like I'm like, that's easy. And then this hypnotist who was great, she was like, you know, you zinning?
These are Lucy's. Sponsored the pod.
I'll take a loose.
They're great.
Yeah, I brought Peruvian jungle tobacco for us to smoke.
Wow. That's awesome.
I thought this was in your apartment.
No. I had to do it here. The audio was too fucked. Okay, so hypnotism.
So I was just like, okay, if I'm going to try it, it's going to be for little dumb shit because
Good idea.
I'm not going
to. Great
gonna,
idea.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Best idea I could think of, actually.
Because then I was like, we'll test it out with that. And then, of course, I talked to this lady for 5 minutes and immediately, are those 6 or 3 milligrams?
3. Actually, I think Lucy's 4.
Okay. But not 6.
Not 6.
Thank God.
They're pretty chill, too.
I do a gross thing, I'm going to warn you, where I put them in my mouth and then take them out because I can't really handle a full dose.
Maybe just put it back then.
I'm going to use it.
You're going to take it out and people can see it?
I'm just going to like put it there, like put it behind my ear or something.
Behind your ear?
What am I?
Just put it down here.
You're worried that you're going to lose.
It makes me feel bad.
Okay, that's fine then.
Put it right there.
Worried about the people.
I worry about you guys.
So I was like, hey, I do this thing with my thumb.
Yeah.
And then I also crack it like this a million times a day.
Yeah.
And I do, and it's obviously not working now. But
I've seen you do that.
See?
Yeah.
And then no nose pick though, right?
No nose pick.
So.
I think you know better than to do that around me.
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't, yeah.
But nose pickers hate other nose pickers the most.
I pick my nose publicly. I'm fine with it. If there's something in there, it's got to come out.
See, that's a elegant nose pick though.
Oh, you go gnarly with it? I go like
this.
Well,
when you're in private, you're going gnarly.
I gotta get. I just gotta make sure everything's in there.
How do you feel about when you have a kid or a feral little adoptee or whatever? Adoptee, stupid word. you gotta suck the boogers out with a straw.
I'm in my mouth. In my own mouth. To be that.
Yeah, you take the straw in the kids. What? Can I keep this up until I start doing the? Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Why wouldn't I just pull it out with a suction thing? Why would you?
I mean, you can. I think there's a hand pump one too. But
you've seen people do it with straws.
Never seen it, but that's
knowing what I do with Coyote, where I let her lick the inside of my nose and mouth, and I don't care. And I would pick. I would pick up her poop with my own hands. I would probably do that with my own.
Or have.
I would. I haven't.
So I'm
worried my kid won't. I won't feel as attached to it as I do my dog. But everybody says that's how they feel. And then they have a kid and they go, "Oh yeah, that's a dog."
I want to hear an interesting thing I hear about men, that men don't actually feel that attached. Like men don't get the same kid pop out magic that women do.
Not at all. That's why they're. That's why when babies are born, they look like the fathers. So the dad isn't like. Ugh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They at least are like. At least it's my face.
Right.
But no, they don't get. Every guy comic I know who has a baby is like. This is the literal direct phrase I've heard from everyone is, well, now she's smiling, so now it's okay.
Yeah.
But, like, that's always what I hear. Like, oh, now she can smile. Before the smile, they're like, ugh, you know?
Yeah.
Because men are retarded, and they literally take a baby going, hey, I'm doing good, in order for them to be okay with
it. I would have thought it was dada. The second it says dada. Oh, you said it.
Yeah,
you
said my dad. That's me.
That's crazy.
No, I think it's the smile.
He said
helps.
Bob. My friends used to call me Bob. I'll take her now. I'll come back home. I'll leave my mistress.
He said Bob. Yeah. I'll be there.
Yeah, you call me.
No, that's why they look like the dad, so that you guys
I'll
don't fuck them
casino
or eat them.
I'll be at the casino until the dog kid says something.
My sister's husband lived at the casino. Lived there until the kid said
so
something.
Fucked.
Crazy.
So fucked. Okay, hypnotist. Hypnotist. So I go.
I'll tell you about my one experience with a hypnotist that was
fucking. You go first.
Me go first?
If you want.
It's quicker.
How do you know?
Well, you go first.
We've had a long on ramp, but what if the story's just one sentence?
You want me to go first?
It's, you pick.
I want you to go first.
Okay. It turns out that all this shit, nose picking, thumb cracking, everything I do, all like whatever, picking, scratching. What I realize is I just do it when I'm thinking about something that I don't really have the answer to, or I'm thinking about something that upsets me, and then I'm like self-harm.
Yes,
that makes sense. And then so she was like, she's like, unfortunately, you can't solve any of the cracking without solving what goes on inside. She's like, a lot of people come. She was Scottish, and I love Scottish people.
A lot of people come.
My dad was Scottish, so I'm big on Scots.
He was Scottish?
Yeah.
With an accent?
No, oh. But because he wanted to fit in. So she said like a lot of people come in and they're like, you know, I want to stop biting my nails. I want to lose weight. And it's like, well, you got to love yourself first.
Oh shit.
Yeah. So bitch. I was like, there's no free lunch here.
That's crazy.
I thought, you know, so they need to go deep.
Did it help though?
Yeah. I mean, I'm very aware of it now. I'm very aware of every time I'm like,
what's interesting about it is like every time
I go to crack or I go to like pick my nose, I'm like, what was I just thinking about? And it's always like relationship, or it's always like, I don't know, like not, or even like not, if I'm trying to work on it, like I'm trying to learn guitar now because I'm the same as literally every other man on the planet.
Yeah.
But my fingers don't do it right. And then I'm like, then I start picking. And I was like, what happened? And I was like, oh, I just had a block where I believed for a second that physically I was incapable of doing the task that I just took on. And then
it's
was
hard.
Like,
guitar is hard.
Guitar sucks. I mean, it's great. Yeah. Oh, I know. Dull. It's a nice noise, though, when you can get it.
It's really nice.
It's a nice noise.
But an F? Fucking F, dude.
I wouldn't even know.
The F is so hard.
I'm not
it's
an
the
F.
bar. Ugh. That's the F.
Yeah.
Sucks. It's
white gang signs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
wouldn't it be easy if that was just sign language? You could learn sign language and guitar at the same time.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
I want to learn sign language. You know what else I want to learn? Italian.
Yeah. They always say to pick one if you want those two things, because it's really hard to learn those both.
Why?
I don't know. That's what the attached people say.
Italian, you can do this, you're already doing sign language, because they talk and like this and they go and like that, and you gotta take the cock in your mouth.
We bonded over how much we both love Maniscalco. Like, I feel like
love him.
Every comic, the most brilliant comics in the world, they're just not as funny as
he's so funny. Are you mad at me?
My wife is annoying.
Yeah, it's the best.
It's the best.
Aren't you embarrassed? Doesn't he say that in a special where he goes, this is the name of that special?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah,
it's
yeah.
So good. But aren't you embarrassed? Every one of his special names is, why do you gotta be like
always,
that?
It's always a question.
Yeah. He's the best.
Yeah.
He did such a good joke the other day at the Comedy Store that I saw him talking about Amazon, where half the time it's an Amazon van and half the time it's just some dude's car. And I was like, that's so true. Isn't that good? I was like, how come I never saw that or thought it is like that? It's one guy being like, here. There's no one path to healing, but microdosing is definitely a great option. You all know how I feel about microdosing mushrooms. I'm a sober Sally. I don't like weed. I don't like alcohol. I love Coke, but I can't do Coke. But you know I'm all about mushrooms. I got sent a big box in the mail. Substance vibes.
I was worried this was some of your fucking affirmations.
Schedule 35 is best when it comes to all things microdosing. Their products are science-backed and dosed to precise amounts so you get exactly what you need to tackle this day without the pesky hallucinations. True, I ate one of the gummies and it was fine. Personal endorsement, they sent me a box. I was very excited. I was a little freaked out because I didn't know that they were becoming an ad. So I was like, should I take this? I did take it. Had a great time. Not too great of a time. You know, it just did a little micro medley. Gives you a little perspecky. Gives you a little dose of perspecky wecky. Schedule 35 is on a mission to destigmatize and educate on the science and real-world benefits of psilocybin and make it accessible for everyone. They sell gummies, capsules, teas, and chocolates, so no matter how you like to microdose, Schedule 35 has you covered. I prefer the gummies because you know I'm a little candy. You showed me the best candy store I've ever been to.
Does that say that in there? Candy, whatever? No.
Each order comes with easy-to-follow microdosing regimen. That keeps you on track. This shit is cool. The gummies taste delicious. They have them all dosed out. I'm a paranoid person, so I need to see exactly how much is each one. And then I even do half of the lowest one.
Me too.
It really gives you a way of doing that that isn't scary. Ready to have your best day ever? Not best day. That's a bad word. Ready to have a pretty good day. Best day is scary, but it's good. Ready to have your best day ever? Schedule 15%. Get 15% off with code RIP at schedule35.co. Is that what I say? .co?
Oh, .co.
Okay. That's schedule. That's 15% off at schedule.co. And use code RIP.
Like instead of com, no M.
Support the show and get 15% off your Schedule 35 order. Use RIP at www.schedule35.co. Great.
In June 2024, a teenager attended a music festival and never returned.
Miles and miles away from where he was staying, up a mountain.
Wasn't gone 3 days and turned into Pablo Escobar.
The online sleuths had lost sight of this was somebody's son.
The disappearance of Jay Slater on Channel 4. Stream now.
Okay, I got hypnotized once, went in, and they told me to describe everything. The table I was sitting at, who was at the table, blah, blah. And then Baby Jordan was there.
Baby Jordan. And then Baby Jordan was in mine too. Baby Jordan is a
staple.
Staple.
Yeah. And Baby Jordan, they told me to hug Baby Jordan, but then it was time for me to leave. And she was like, leave Baby Jordan with your family. And I was like, okay. And I was like, oh, she's like not letting go. And she was like, well, just like hug her and tell her it's okay. And Baby Jordan wouldn't let go. And I started like panicking. And she like brought me out of it. And I was just sobbing uncontrollable because Baby Jordan wouldn't let go of my body and was like, don't leave me here with these people. Mm-hmm. So then they said, please.
Did you do like the holotropic breathing first?
Or I did this. I think I had the buzzers. The EMDR buzzers.
Okay.
Or the taps.
But you were in it.
I was in it. Because I went in being like, this is gay. And then suddenly I was like, oh God. And it was all very vivid. Were you in it?
Yeah, I was in it.
Really?
Yeah, I was in it. And then I did I was in it.
How did she bring you in it?
It was also fresh off ayahuasca, so I was like in it.
So you're doing all this stuff at once. What?
Crash course.
Wait, but
the hypnotizing thing, I'm bullish on it, but I think what's good about it, I think that it you find out, you unveil like the challenges that you have more than anything, right? Like,
yeah.
If you just ask, like, what do you think the source of that is? And it's just always like, oh, you have to love yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it's always that. And it's hard for me. It's hard because they're like, you have to love yourself. And I'm like, that self that you're talking about is like, it's not like if you were like, you have to love this tiny rock, I would be like, done.
Done.
But
easy.
This ethereal entity that keeps morphing between sane and insane.
How much
I don't
easier?
Know.
So what you're gonna have to love, we have it's this little dog that you're gonna have to love. It's kind of hard to love because it's missing a tooth.
I can love
but
that.
Great.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. But when
kinda
it says
walks
love
funny,
me,
is that
I'm
okay?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Has only one leg. Happy to do it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when I have to love myself,
her
it's
name
very
is
odd.
Jordan. No.
Gross. Kill it. Put it to sleep.
Kill shelter.
And then how many times have you done ayahuasca now?
8 times.
Nuh-uh. Damn.
Yeah.
What's
but you
going
said
on?
My skin looked good.
Dan.
You said my 8, skin looked good.
The last time I saw you, it was...
You said my skin looked good.
It's because it's summer, and I take it back. And you got hair.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that?
Sure. Well, that
you got
great.
Hair plugs, and they look incredible.
You said... Yeah. But you have great hair.
I
always...
Know.
Yeah.
It's the one thing I have.
It's not the one thing.
It's...
No.
It's the thing I have.
It's not the thing you have.
Thanks. But the hair
you
is great.
Thanks.
Does that change your whole life? It's got to.
Does it change my whole life? It just like, it means, I mean, I don't think I would do it again, but it just like.
Why?
If I could go back in time, would I do it again? You know, I'm just getting too much puss.
I see.
No,
it's
I think
thrown
like.
At you.
I think, no. No. You kind of believed that for a second, though. Why are you so funny?
I did believe it. I did believe it for a minute.
Yeah, no. It feels dishonest, you know?
Really?
I was complaining about the dishonesty. Like, I think that the best version
my
of a human...
My eyebrows are tattooed on.
Dude, good job.
Thanks.
I like a dark eyebrow, so...
I know, me too. But they were blonde. Zero eyebrow. Scandinavian.
Zero eyebrow.
I have zero eyebrows. No, they're tattooed on. I know I'm about to get my hair lightened. Fuck it. Who gives a fuck?
Oh, yeah.
My
compare hair lightening to hair transplant.
What do you mean?
Not even close to the level
hair.
Of dishonesty.
It's your hair.
Not even close. Even the tattooing, not even close to the level of dishonesty.
What about I got plastic surgery?
What'd you get? Schnoz?
I had loose skin on my
stomach. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was had that shit cut right
now,
off.
Now, because you... You got fit and you wanted to feel fit. This is all vanity.
But it also makes you less
Let
creepy.
Me fail. It does make you less
it
creepy.
It makes you less creepy, which is important. You could write it off.
I said to someone, I was like, it just makes me feel like I'm not living the truth that was given to me, or someone was like, shave your head, and I was like, I'm not that mad about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
You know, because it does. It is subtle. And I think, like, just purely from a productivity standpoint, I don't stand in the mirror going, like, oh, it's kind of growing back today. You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You're not freaked out about
yeah.
it, which is good. So, yeah. I support it. I support anyone's plastic surgery. I mean, people start to look like the mentors pretty soon in plastic
yeah.
surgery. You know, the men I'm noticing a little more.
I know. The men are getting gooey.
The men are getting gooey.
They look like this, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Can't we just
they
gotta
age? They got to stop. I know. Does
but
Tom
I
Cruise
didn't.
Have
but
it?
I cheated. Oh, did Tom Cruise. What has Tom Cruise not gotten?
Is that true? Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was watching Mission Impossible and... We were watching some movie from like the 90s, me and my friend. I forget what it was, but it was an older movie. It might have been like Jumanji.
Mm-hmm.
And the women in it had no plastic surgery.
Yeah.
And my friend was like, man, wouldn't. I couldn't realize how, what?
And he was like, wouldn't.
Yeah. He was like, won't do it. Zero. And it was refreshing to see their little thin, older lips.
Mm-hmm.
It's comforting.
The scariest part about it is how much, it affects, like, you know, all this stuff about memetics or whatever. And this is why you have to leave New York, because if you don't see all these beauty standards, because they're not even real. Boobs aren't real. None of the shit's real.
Yeah.
I don't even mean, like, they're silicone. I mean, like, they're made up. It's made up by society. I mean, there yeah. is a certain level of athleticism that we deem as attractive, but all the rest, the thick lips, no one grew up being like, I want a bitch with thick lips,
yeah.
you know? But now...
The DSLs.
Yeah, but now, why am I looking at people's
lips?
I don't think
men like it. I don't think men are that
men
into
like
DSLs.
A little. You like a little, not DSL.
You don't like witch face.
No, you don't.
But
like
you like
face.
Lips. But I think those DSLs, the duck lips, are from Instagram. I think people post a photo with a little bit of plumper. Everybody likes it because it's, you know, and then they keep getting it because it gets some dopamine hits. I think if social media didn't exist, I think lip fillers would tank.
Yeah.
I do believe that. I don't think men are being like, I wish you had scary lips that when I look at... I was watching some true crime thing where this guy tried to kill his wife. And I was like, I'd try and kill that woman too if she had a face that... It's silicon... What's it called? Something Valley?
I was really focusing on the point I was going to make.
Okay, go ahead.
No, please.
But what's it?
Yeah, Uncanny Valley.
Uncanny Valley, yeah, where it's almost a person, but it's not.
So I think about a couple things. Like, okay, I think that you get some of this stuff done, and the point of the stuff is like, well, a lot of women are getting work done that is meant to facilitate their makeup look, right?
Yes.
Like, it doesn't look good normally. Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah. It's like structure to then be painted on.
Yes, exactly. The chin thing is scary, that women's chins drop. Maybe I'll do some.
I think that Chalamet is a little bit of a canary in the coal mine with this. I'm not a big
really?
I don't really care about pop culture stuff very much, but the fact that he's with a Kardashian, like, he should be with like a half
a freak
Native American, yeah, half Indian NYU girl who's like the country's leading.
No, he sold out.
Yeah, Kierkegaard, yeah, scholar or something. And instead, I mean, he's setting the country back hundreds of years in terms of the plastic surgery, because he's got the everyman, like, cute boy next door thing. And then he's going for all the fake shit. Like, dude, we're fucked.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know. The only
and
the
they
only
look
last
fun.
Man
they look like
standing
they're having
is
fun
Hugh
too,
because
they're such good. I know, but dude, but we look okay. But I mean, and Tom or Keanu Reeves was with the age appropriate wife, and people were like,
"I thought they're still together."
I don't know, but I just mean like the judgment. There was judgment. Like, oh, he should be with the fucking.
No,
piece.
But he's like basically a sensei.
I
he's
clicked,
like an old sage.
I have anxiety about plastic surgery. he is an old sage.
Yeah.
So but that, if you do enough psychedelics, I think you can get to his place. Or if you do enough therapy.
I don't
do
know.
Enough...
I watched that documentary that he was doing with like the Mysteries in the Outdoors or some shit like
no
that.
No clue. No clue.
He's not the most – I love him. Neo is the all-time – is the barometer in which I set my metronome for life.
Sure.
But Keanu Reeves, I don't know if he's the sharpest tool in the shed.
I had an experience with him one time.
What? Yeah, put that down.
That makes it sound more sexual than it is. But I was just sitting in a restaurant. He came in, said, "Hey, can I get a glass of the Prosecco or whatever?" Took it outside. Took the wine glass outside the restaurant,
yeah,
while smoking a cigarette. And then brought it back in and just left. And I don't think he paid for it.
It's nice.
Pretty awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's some Jedi shit.
And they were all happy. He did them all a service. I don't think he thought of
it. Was he an alcoholic? He doesn't seem like that. He seems like an ayahuasca guy.
He just had
eight times you've done ayahuasca?
I did it. Well, you know, I did it. You'll appreciate this stuff. The first time I did it when I was 25.
Okay.
And I did it because Tim Ferriss.
Yes, of course. Who I saw in Raya. Isn't that bleak?
He's probably got reading glasses, but he...
Tim Ferriss is the author of 4-Hour Body. I followed his diet for a long time, where you ate nothing all week, mm-hmm, and then
4-Hour Body, 4-Hour Work Week. He
it
was
did not
kind
work
of
on
the...
me because I ate full things of peanut butter on the cheat day.
Really?
Full.
Dude, the most pathetic one I've ever seen of that is I saw a girl who was doing these meal replacement packets to lose weight, and then somebody told her at some point that she could have a little bit of alcohol on the side, and was drinking like 12 packs of beer along with the... Along with the meal replacement shakes.
She's hungry.
Yeah.
She needed some liquid bread.
She needed a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's doing well.
The more I just let myself eat, the less my body betrays me. I did stop eating meat, which also helped. But if I stop this diet
I'll tell you, the more grounded and shit I feel, I just, it's the impulse control. The impulse control is so much better now.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How's it working with stand-up? Because everybody who does, you know my fear of ayahuasca.
Yeah.
That it makes you not funny.
Yeah.
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 Is it better than ever? Or
I don't know. How do I seem?
I can't tell because I'm not seeing you on stage.
On
stage, are you Keanu Reeves?
Are
you less gay on stage?
Way less gay.
Yes. We love that.
Way less gay.
This man would go from being like slightly autistic Jewish guy who I love and adore, get on stage, crush, but go full yes, full gay.
No, not full yes. Not full yes.
Full yes.
Not full yes. Okay. Let me tell you the origin story of that. It's because... I lived with a lot of gay guys growing up, and they always thought I was gay, so I had material about guys thinking I was gay. Plus, got on stage originally because I was so nervous, got really nervous. My voice pitch went up on stage.
Yeah.
More people thought I was gay. First joke I ever wrote that really crushed was that how people thought I had a gay voice. And then I just was chasing killing rather than chasing authenticity.
Yeah.
And, you know, next thing you know, I have 2 hours on how I take dick.
Yeah. Next thing you know, I'm sucking a cock.
Next thing you know, I'm like, I need another bit.
Yeah. Fuck my ass.
Yeah. But, way less gay. But it's funny. I'm trying to like make sure that I have the framework so that I can tell this in a way that's eloquent and interesting. But like, yeah, so I had a lot of those jokes and they do kill. And it's like, I can look at them again and be like, what is the actual funny part of this that's actually real? But like, yeah, the more psychedelics and more therapy and stuff I do, I'm like, I'm not really interested in killing with stuff that is not good.
Yeah.
But then I'll go, you know, 3-4 months out of the thing, and then I get stressed because I'm like, I don't feel like I'm doing well enough, and then the gay shit just seeps back in.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I got on stage like, hi, everybody!
Yeah, totally.
But no, I'm way funnier. Way funnier.
Oh, wow.
Way funnier. And maybe that's just me being delusional. Like, I bet Jim Carrey thinks he's way funnier now.
Yeah.
But I do think I'm way funnier. Like, I see things that I think are real and funny to me. And the real crux of it is it doesn't fucking matter, right? Like, yeah. I went in there being like, I don't want to be less funny. I don't want to be talking about things that everyone doesn't love. And the real thing that you have to accept is, like, if you're talking about things you actually love, you're actually going to be happier. It doesn't mean you're going to sell out stadiums.
Right, so who cares?
For me, like, I have a pretty good sense of, like, how to be successful. So, like, I think I can kind of do both, but I don't want to be that big. I don't care about that shit.
Yeah.
But no, I definitely don't think you'd be less funny.
But do you have to go through a barfing thing?
The tent? You do have to go through a little bit of barfing thing, but okay. The first time I did it, I didn't barf. I did it because Tim Ferriss, and the reason I did it the first time, I was 0% spiritual. I did it because Tim Ferriss said that, she explained it. You explained it. I don't know if I'm talking to you. Tim Ferriss said, I hated that the way I said that.
It's okay.
You hated the way you said what? The ceremony. I addressed the audience instead of you.
It's because I did it.
Doesn't mean just because, whatever.
The ayahuasca is really making you more, giving you self-love. You say the smallest thing. Hold on
1 second.
I hate you.
Retard. Yeah, go to your gay jokes again, you homo.
Timothy Ferris is a hacker, but he was the first person.
He was the first semi-normal person to be like to post the biohackery stuff, like how to be more productive, how to like do things better for your body in a way that was not move to the mountains and drink your children's piss.
Yeah, and he was all about like work less, which I liked.
Work less, and he's a big on the 80-20 thing, which is fascinating. What is the 20% I can learn about a thing? To achieve 80% of the results, which I actually don't care about as a concept. But at the time, I was like, that's really cool. There's funny stories about him learning how to do sumo. And he like re-engineered sumo so he like could compete with the good wrestlers just because there was some like loophole in stepping out of bounds. And it's like, yeah, like cool, you've proved the point.
Cheated.
Yeah. But congrats. Like, have fun doing sumo badly.
Yeah.
You fucking idiot.
He was a skinny man fighting big fat fatties.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And he figured out how to do it because he
figured
would just
out how to like, something to do with the time clock and stepping out of the ring. I don't really
it's
remember.
It's just a new age form of the show Made.
But he said, do ayahuasca. I mean, this is how susceptible I was. He said, I do ayahuasca twice a year. It's like a lot of the hard work that you need to do on yourself in 2 nights, and you by the end of it you're lying there sweating and miserable, but you're like, fuck, I'm glad I did that, and then I got a whole year and then I'll do it again. And I was like, okay, so I can achieve, because my work ethic is traditionally horrible. I'm very good at a short burst.
Yeah,
I'm a
that's
why stand-up's great. It's on the calendar. I have to write new things because I have the thing.
It's the best.
Short burst. Great. So I was like, great, I'll do that. I'll do 2 nights of work in exchange for a much better existence.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, it's so scary. I'm like, it's a quick thing. I'll be done. I'll get through it. It's 2 hours, you know, because some MMA fighter once said, I can do anything for 25 minutes. And I was like, that sounds good. I can't, but I'll accept that.
Yeah.
So I did it then. And
hold your breath for 25 minutes.
No, no. I can't go on stage for 25 minutes and not
do gay voice.
Talk about blowing someone. Or blow someone pump fake, in fairness.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I can't go on stage and not do a blowjob act out, I've realized. There's like three in my special.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's funny.
It's not great.
All the same. Can you do the hand motions real quick?
One is me going all of Hollywood, look at my mouth. The okay. other is me doing porn and going. And the other is me just going.
Yeah. I would have started with that one, yeah. I think, in the run yeah. in the runoff.
Yeah.
Porn one would
have. It been. Does start with that one.
Good. I mean, not good. What do yeah. I know? But okay, so I did it then. But then the night after, I was like. That was actually the worst trip I ever had because I had that thing. It's so funny that everyone has the same kind of bad trip, but the traditional bad trip that you get first off is I'm so alone, no one loves me, I'm completely alone in this world. And then as you're coming out of it, you're like, oh, no, I have people that love me. My life's amazing. I yeah. should value those things instead of trying to aim higher for things that don't matter.
Yeah.
And only hang out with the people that actually care about you.
But how does it show you that?
You haven't had that on mushrooms?
I've had that on mushrooms. I've tripped balls and just been hysterically laughing. Mushrooms, I microdose in order to basically have perspective that.
You haven't like gone deep, deep.
I've gone deep, deep on acid.
Okay.
But I went yeah. too deep. And I dealt with one thing. I dealt with OCD on acid. And it
there
was
is,
like.
There is no too deep.
It was almost my death.
Yeah, yeah.
I almost had to kill myself to get out of it. But I got out of it and cured a lot of OCD.
But first on mushrooms, of all,
I
use it
to be like, this is good, that's bad.
I don't think that anyone should do these things alone because I've had the feeling coming out of it where I'm like, oh, life is not worth living. I'll kill myself now.
I had that. I had a panic attack that was so epic the other day that I was like, even with Coyote in my bed, I was like, dude, this whole everything is so bleak and there's no reason to keep going. And I was like, felt like I thought I was like, maybe I fucked up my Prozac or something, but I felt like I couldn't figure it out. I was like, there's something going on that's psychedelic that's making me want to kill myself. I called Jake. He like came to Brooklyn and we like walked around the park for hours. But I was like, you know, when your like teeth start chattering because you're almost going to shock because your body's like so trying to convince yourself to die. It was so fucking crazy.
I don't have things like that as bad as
I rarely do. But when they happen there and it's usually out of like a sense of abandonment. That's what like sparks it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is like epic. And I know I'm not going to hurt myself, but it is just like every time you open your eyes, everything looks so grim. Like the bedside table, like this would bother me because it's like not real. And it's like the context that you're in is like brutal,
mm-hmm.
even if it's familiar. It's crazy.
And you think it's psychedelic in the way that it engulfs you.
It felt psychedelic because it felt like it was a wave that I was like riding and I had to wait for it to crash.
People
and
often talk about having – people who have done enough psychedelics often talk about having psychedelic experiences yeah, off psychedelics.
Totally.
Because you can have it from breathing hard. Like you can have it from yeah. anything. So how did it happen on ayahuasca? It happened and it's – these things are inexplicable, but I saw some demonic figure. So it's funny. I don't think I've ever told anyone this, but it started because it was when I first noticed that my hair was thinning. And I could see my hair. I could see my skeleton of my head and my hair started going like really thin and getting sucked into my head. And then I just saw my head as this like pretty Jewish looking fucking creepy demonic skull. And what I was experiencing was myself the most lonely you've ever felt times like not even by a multiple. Just yeah. so all consuming loneliness.
Yeah, that's how I felt the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And right.
All-consuming loneliness is exactly...
With visuals of a Grim Reaper who was me.
Oh, he...
Like, it was kind of my face as a Grim Reaper.
So were you bad?
It was just me. It was not bad. It was not good. It was just seeing this side of me.
Okay.
And then the next night, I went and got hammered at a wedding and tried to pick up girl, and I failed. Right? Like, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have any... It's pretty dumb that I did this.
Okay.
But then, yeah, the next night I went and I got drunk at a wedding and I didn't – the most important thing with these things is like it gives you a checklist of things to work on. In the next 2 weeks, you have to work on those things or else it's an entire waste of time.
What was the checklist that the Reaper tried to do?
I don't remember. Just like to value my brother, value my mom, value – and like that I wanted to do more writing and actually like work on things I care about. Also to be more independent. Outside of like Like, don't allow anyone to, because I have a bad problem of like allowing other people to, because I get lazy and I don't want to figure out how to do taxes. I want to figure out, and if someone's like, oh, I'll do that kind of shit for you, or like my mom or my family or her lawyer or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was like, you have to learn how to do all of those things on your own.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
But how did the Grim Reaper relate to the task list?
Oh, I'm just saying that that's how I would tell someone to go through it. I would say, like, journal after. And then the next 2 weeks, like, if you want to use these things for the tool, the amazing tool that they are, don't just like re-enter your life and be thrown back into it, because like we're so good at surviving that like eventually 2 or 3 days of you just hammering your tasks, you'll lose the buzz, and the tail buzz after it is actually where you make the good changes. Realize the things when you're fucked up.
You know what this is very similar to, which is interesting?
Yeah.
Bipolar disorder.
Interesting.
Because I was talking about this on the solo pod, but bipolar disorder has this thing where you're in this depression and nothing matters and you don't recognize anything. And then mania hits and all of a sudden you're like, I love everybody. I love Dan. I love my mom. I love that I'm able to do these things. And you have to act quick. Like when I was manic, that's how I got my house. That's how I got Coyote. That's how I got my apartment. That's how I like did all these things. It was in mania. And you have to like quickly
take advantage.
You have to take advantage. And it is like a
post-trip. But you're not processing that, right? Like you're just doing. You're just going.
For me, it's like
when you're manic, you're not like, I should make sure to do these things that I want to do right now.
No, it's like a natural state.
You're not like Hulk being like, I've always wanted to burn down that building. I should do it while I'm Hulk.
Well, kind of.
Interesting.
Because sometimes, obviously, there's a part of you that's like, I'm manic. I could also eat a giant bag of Swedish fish and watch true crime.
Right.
But there is a manic high that you ride where you're like, instead of doing that. I'm so sorry, Harry. And instead of doing that, you push, make a big push to do
all the
shit.
Okay, so you're making conscious decisions. That doesn't sound like a manic thing. Like, isn't manic just pure ego, like pure id? I mean, just like.
That's a form of mania.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it is like, it's a sudden, it feels closer to Molly.
Got it.
Like you're all of a sudden like, oh my God, everything is so awesome.
Have
I love
that. Have
you
wanted to rap?
Huh?
Have you wanted to rap?
I've rapped while manic. 100%.
Yeah, okay.
You're so good at it. Freestyling while manic.
Yeah. I've
done it on Glassman's pod. I've done it on Sagalow's pod. I did it and was just like crushing.
Hell yeah.
It was great.
Cool.
So you have your gay class at what time?
Don't worry about it. I'm more interested in this than the improv comedy, by the way, a very good way of shedding actual ego.
I really want to take an improv class. Could I go into yours?
You can come, yeah.
Not today, but in general?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
I mean, we could figure it out. I'm not very good at it.
I love it, but yeah. I want to do it. Wait, so...
So the checklist, so you do the check... Anyway, wait, so that's interesting that it sounds like manic.
You take the ayahuasca, you're
did
in a tent
with
people.
Real quick, did we wrap up the manic thing?
Yeah, totally.
I don't know if it's... There is a level of mania, but it's like... I will say you're not like the danger, like the reason that people think post-ayahuasca people are weird is like, I will call you and be like, hey, I just want you to know that I know you go through a lot and I really respect you. And like, let me know if you ever need anything. Like, I consider you an actual friend. Da, 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 da. But it's like, I feel like it's so people are like, ugh, ayahuasca is gay.
But when you called me and did that to me, that I've had that in mania. But
in
the
fairness,
way people talk
you
about
you called me and then I.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But the way people talk about
you mania, were like, hey, if I'm like recording using a Sony FX1 on the road, like what frame rate do I want? And I'm like, hey, just so you know, like I think you're a real talent, and like I know you go through a lot. And you're like, great, awesome. Do you know anyone else that could answer my question?
Yeah. It's hard for me to accept things when people say nice things. I'm immediately like,
me too.
It's so hard.
At all. Yeah.
Wait. So you take the because I have to go soon. You take the ayahuasca. You go into a tent.
Mm-hmm.
They're leading you through it. You start tripping.
I don't know where you came up with the tent. I didn't shut the tent down, but there's no tent.
There's no tent.
There's no tent.
Wow, that's huge for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it a room? A church?
Look, you can do it in – have you heard of the Hollywood Shamans now?
No.
You can get a hotel room in the Ritz-Carlton, and a guy will come and sit with you and help you do it. And you could have a dog there with you.
No, but what if I hurt her because I'm crazy?
You won't move.
Oh, you don't move?
You aren't moving.
Really? You're just down on your back?
I mean, you get up and you're kind of like moving around a little bit, but you're not walking around. You're not like, where's my dog?
What if you need to snap out of it?
It's.
What if you panic?
Then, I mean, you can talk. Like, the real answer to this is, as long as you're actually supported with someone that you is actually like. I don't know who this Hollywood – there's a Hollywood shaman that's giving it to a lot of entertainment people right now. And there's one here. There's one in L.A. There's one – like you do it at like some Malibu hotel or whatever. Because it's embarrassing. Like you might puke and you might lie on your bed and scream at your mom or whatever. Ah! Like you're going to do shit that's embarrassing. You don't care in the moment.
Okay.
But there's people that – when you're a celebrity, I guess, like it's more challenging. But –
Did you do it with a group?
A group. It's in a beautiful home, but you can do this anywhere. You can do it like – you can. There's fancy retreats out in Costa Rica that are like nice. I mean the real thing is it just doesn't matter. Like you got to do it in a way that is comfortable for you because once you do it, you'll get it. Like,
were you comparing yourself to the other people around you? Were you looking at
first? Okay. The experience that I had the first time. Okay. I'll so the next time I did it, I went to this beautiful house. And it was really scary because it was winter and I'm horrified. Let me also say, I am so fucking afraid of this shit.
Yeah.
Because I don't like horror movies. I don't like the idea of being – I don't want trapped. Worms eating me. I don't want any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't – I sort of think it might kill me. Like I – even when I was there last time, I was like, oh, I'm Russian roulette every time. Every time I drink a cup of this stuff, like I'm – 1 in 10, I'm going to die.
Okay.
I started thinking that the people were there because the people have the best. They're so grounded who have done it a bazillion times.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, they're just grounded because everyone else has just died. Like they're the survivors.
They killed off the weak links.
But these are all – it's all bullshit that you're telling yourself. Even
the ayahuasca is telling you it, not you.
No, sober. This is me defending against – me protecting myself against actually changing, against actually like growing up.
Yeah.
Like, I basically want to be the star of the show, and ayahuasca says you're not the star of the show. So it's all the ways that you're fighting, being like, oh, I'm still the fucking star. This is about me.
Yeah.
You know, all the ways that I manipulate and bribe and all these lie, cheat, and steal.
Yeah.
It's like, keep doing those things.
Wow.
Me telling me that. And ayahuasca.
And when you
like,
surrender, it unveils
surrender nature, because, hey, we're just nature. You know, like, we're part of nature. We're not that interesting. Like, we're beautiful. It's great. We get to live a fun life, but, like, we're not the star.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And like, it shows you that?
Yeah.
Really?
Which is nice when you accept it.
But it is good, or does it sometimes give you the existential, why am I doing any of these evil things, like stand-up?
That stuff you have to come up with on your own. No, because purpose is important. Thank God.
Thank God.
Thank God.
It tells you that?
Yeah. Purpose is important. Oh, thank God. Yeah.
Dude, but anything, that's what I worry
but
about.
But anything is purpose, right? Like, so one thing that someone said there to me that really – I'll tell you a story that freaked me out.
Okay.
Anything is purpose. Like they say spirituality is cutting wood and carrying water.
Yeah.
I think for us, stand-up is cutting wood and carrying water. Like for me, stand-up, like I've just quit so much shit. I don't think I'm particularly good at stand-up. I think I have a lot of natural talent in it. But there's like – I'm not – you know, I don't know if I'm like the God's gift to humor.
Yeah.
But it's just like for me, when I'm in a good place, I'm like I just have to work at this every day.
Yeah.
And I have to accept that there are 21-year-olds who are going to get way bigger than me.
Yeah.
And it just
– doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter because like I have to get up and write.
Yeah.
And you meet guys who are like 70 and they're like – they're happy. And I'm like, you never did shit.
Yeah.
And they're like, I get up. I write some jokes. I go do them.
Yeah.
I'm happy. I have a nice wife and we live in, I don't know, somewhere far in Jersey or whatever.
Yeah.
That's all it is. But it's like purpose is important. Like you can – your purpose can be anything. But for me, the challenge is deciding that I'm going to do something and then actually doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that it doesn't matter what that is because whatever bed you choose to get in, like that's the bed you make. And that's what it
right.
shows you.
Okay.
But no, you're not going to quit stand-up.
Okay.
You're not going to quit stand-up. You're going to – you may – you know, for the 2 weeks after you've done it, you may be like, I don't want to be on stage anymore. My purpose is going to be to go around to schools, do little dinky stand-up classes, find women that I think are actually like have some talent and help nurture their talent. I don't want to be on stage anymore. Jordan Jensen is now going to be just somebody who like helps the next generation.
Right.
And then 3 weeks later, you'll be like, yeah, I want to get back on stage. Like, fuck these dumb little bitches, you know?
Right.
But if you decide that that's an important thing, then it's like, then that's a new pet for you to take on. And then that actually, if you stick with it, you're never wrong when you have those ideas out of it. It's just they're not practical. And it's like whether or not you're willing to go through with that thing that is not necessarily practical.
So why have you done it 8 times? I have to see it when I have to go.
Why have I done it 8 times?
Yeah, why do you?
Because the first time was kind of just – okay, so in terms of the people that are there, right? Like there are business people. There's hippie dippies. There's really mystical people who just talk about running in the woods as a wolf, and you don't know what the fuck they're talking about. A lot of them have had a really traumatic thing happen to them.
Yeah.
And so a common trajectory that I've experienced is been annoyed by people when I get there, and then by the end being like, this person had the worst thing happen to them, and they're dealing with it in the way that they can.
Yeah.
The first time I went, I was judging the fuck out of everyone that was there. I was like, thank God there's a bro here, because I just want to be – I want to be a bro who likes my life, but I want to be like a bro. I don't want to be like a
– wolf.
Yeah. I don't want to be a wolf running in the forest.
Yeah.
I don't want to be Palo Santo-ing.
Yeah.
And so I remember writing in my thing, like, I am judging these people. And then on the second day, I wrote I'm so grateful that all these people are here. They're all such an important part of my journey. And then on the third day, when I feel like I really kind of broke through the first time, I was like, some of these people are pretty fucking gay.
But cool.
I'm glad they're here. Like, we're having a fucking time.
Oh, that's cool. You know? It is waves of extremity.
You become, I think, more yourself. You become more yourself.
That's good to know.
Yeah. Right. But you'll have moments where you're like, I just want to hug everyone. I want to hug trees.
Yes.
The first time I left, I was like, I'm never going to eat meat again. And then this time when I did it 3 more times, I was like, meat's just not, I'm going to eat meat. Like I'm going to respect the animals and stuff. I'm not going to eat pork. I don't eat pork really anymore. Cause like I love pigs and
I don't eat meat cause I love them all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying is it's like the first time I was like, I'll never touch meat again. And then you slowly build it back in. And this time I'm like, I left and ate a steak.
Yeah.
So this time, the first time it was all amazing. And all the general life lesson I got was that life is short. Life's a gift. Da, da, da. And it's like all these platitudes that you hear constantly. But like you need to come to these things yourself. Nobody can tell you anything. That's another thing I've learned about the world is like, all this advice that you get from people, none of it fucking matters until you come to that thing yourself.
Yeah.
So you learn, you're just lying there being like, all these expressions that I've heard my whole life, like they're right. Like love is the answer. Like,
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
But it was all a nice experience. And I just understood gratitude. I understood like appreciating my life. And then that kind of faded and I still understood those things. But I was just like, I don't really know why I have the struggles that I have because, like, I don't understand. I have good advantages in life, and I don't understand why things are just not – it's not that they're not easy for me, but it's, like, I don't understand why my self-discipline sucks. I don't understand why I'm, like, generally pretty miserable.
Yeah.
And then this time I went a little deeper, and I, like, really got – I went back in my past and, like, kind of figured out a lot of those things. I had this whole – people say, like, a process about – I had this whole process about ADD where I just don't think – I don't really think ADD is real anymore.
I don't either.
Yeah. So I just realized that all the fidgeting I do is just when I run into something that I find challenging. And I never in my life had to persevere through challenges.
ADD is just an ill-fitting life that doesn't match up with who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that was the first day. And then second and third, it's all – and you just start – like it can be anything. You can start going through the Rolodex of people you hang out with and like who bother you. And you're so magical in this moment.
Yeah.
But you're in pain.
Yeah.
But you're so magical. You understand why those people are who they are.
Oh.
And you understand, like, I shouldn't hang out with this person. Da, da, da. I'm, like, being codependent. I'm kissing ass. And you realize – and then this is the scary shit, though. You realize that, like, when you get a lesson, like, I am being a sycophant in this in exchange for clout or in exchange to try to, you know, advance my career or to try to fit in. Because for me, everything has just been – in my life has been trying to fit in.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, but are you going to enact that? And if you don't enact that, you slowly just go back down the path. That's what I mean by you have to actually do the
things. This is the same that you're talking about step work. It's the same thing.
Same shit.
You slowly unveil all of the places in which you're gaining something in exchange for a piece of yourself, how you're manipulating somebody, how you're this relationship with them. It doesn't have anything to do with them, but it is toxic to you. And if you don't keep going to meetings and keep doing step work, you'll just slide back into becoming this worm that just lives to feed off of other people in order to survive, which isn't necessary at all.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was kind of what I got to, and then on the third day this time, I basically was like, because it works with you a little bit, right? Like I went in being like, why am I such a pussy?
Yeah,
and then I knew that I might get a horror movie. I always call it that. Like I knew, I was like, well, you want to see what it's really like to be a pussy,
right?
And now you'll experience the world of it. And I was so scared. But then I kind of just realized a lot of stuff about my upbringing that I'd never really thought about.
It was like, you want to see a horror movie? And it flashes to your mother.
No, and yeah. No, it was like, okay. I mean, basically what it's saying is like, you're ready now. You've succumbed to being open to getting your ass fully eaten, fully destroyed. I don't know why I said
we've all known that you're open to eating.
Flashback forever. Didn't work. But. And then it was like, here's why you actually struggle to do things. And then it gets into that.
Because you opened yourself up to getting your...
And every time, you know, I had a guy say, I went to do some ketamine stuff. And one of the people there said, I was like, what's the difference? And he said, like, ayahuasca, he basically said ayahuasca is better. But like, they call it grandma. Ayahuasca, they refer to as grandma in like the spiritual
That's
communities.
Awesome.
And then he said, but the problem with grandma is grandma wants you to keep coming to see grandma. And so like you get it. Like I get now the things I have to do. And ayahuasca is challenging, but it makes those things easier because it's kind of like on the Hot Wheels track. It's like the turbocharger.
Oh, okay. So you do have to keep coming back to grandma.
Unless you are the most diligent step work person of all time.
Right.
But like when you go, you'll be like...
Wait, what was the alternative that they said ayahuasca is better? What was the other
ketamine.
Option?
I don't believe in ketamine.
I don't know. Too many of my friends have like overdosed on ketamine.
That ketamine is a synthetic thing. I think that probably... I mean, look, what the fuck do I know? I know nothing and I hate when people talk about these things without knowing anything, but I've tried a lot. I did the intravenous stuff and it's just too fun.
Ketamine?
Yeah.
You did intravenous ketamine?
Just to try it.
Yeah. It was too high.
It's just too fun, and I don't think it really teaches you anything.
Yeah.
I think if you're really suicidal, then maybe it can. They've shown a lot that it can pull you out.
What about ayahuasca versus mushrooms?
I don't know. Ayahuasca is just, I think, my thing, not mushrooms.
Mushrooms can just really. I feel like ayahuasca will take the reins and guide you, whereas mushrooms, you're the guider, and sometimes you are not equipped to guide yourself.
Mm, yeah.
You know what I mean? You'll just go down. Because if you think horror movie when you're on mushrooms, it'll be like, okay, I guess we'll go there.
Yeah,
whereas ayahuasca is like, no, let's talk about your mom for a bit.
I think that ayahuasca is more like a Russian roulette thing where like it sometimes you'll get a horror movie, but you learn from ayahuasca, you're always learning. Like you're there. It's school for your mental health. It's not fun, but it's like, it can be beautiful. At times it really feels like you're just really stoned on weed, which I don't like. But it's the difference, the way I see it, it's the difference between weed. It's like, you know when you have a panic attack on weed and you're like freaked out about something? Ayahuasca lets you go through that and be like, why am I having this panic attack?
Whereas weed is just like, weed, my heart is going to stop.
Yeah. Like,
do you have that on ayahuasca? My heart is going to stop. I'm going to get stuck in my own.
No, you occasionally on ayahuasca, you're like, I will die right now, but
That's okay.
Yeah. The really scary story that someone told me about, I don't even want to tell you this.
Why? Tell me. And then we'll go.
The most beautiful, like this person I met there who was so grounded, like so like a monk, a pure monk, said, told some story that someone had told him where, like just in terms of how we're just one with nature, he said that he had a monkey that was his pet that he really loved. And his teacher saw him with the monkey and he's like, oh, it's a cute monkey, great monkey. And then one night he was lying there and a snake tried to eat the monkey and he took out his knife and killed the snake. And then his teacher saw that happen and he goes, you have love for the monkey. And the guy's like, yeah, I love my monkey or whatever. And he goes, why don't you have love for the snake? And then that was freaky because that was just like, we are kind of all, we can care for whoever we want, but we are kind of all alone. We're all just part of this whole nature cycle.
That scared you?
Yeah, because I want to have the people around me. I just want to like have people around me, and I want to protect them. I want to kill the snake.
You want to end up with somebody who you can protect forever that will walk into the kingdom of death with you, as opposed to walking.
I mean, whatever, but I just don't. I don't. If I love someone, if I love someone and someone else tries to kill them, I want to try to kill that person.
Right.
Right. Like I don't want. Like I don't want to. In that moment, I don't want to be like, I love the captor as well as the captee.
Well, it's the whole purpose thing. It takes away this sense of purpose that is.
So yeah, fuck that story. That story sucks. And but it's beautiful. But
it is very beautiful. But it does make you. I mean,
doesn't mean I'm not going to carry a knife and kill the snake, though.
But I think about the monkey in the terms of like a partnership. Like you're with somebody, and I think about that all the time because I'm a love addict. So I'll be like, I have to find one person, and we'll be together forever, and that way we'll both go hand in hand into the scary thing, which is death, and we'll get old together, and we'll watch each other age, and it'll be okay, and it won't be scary. Which isn't the case. I mean, you have maybe no the case, idea,
but you just don't know.
But you don't know, and then ultimately,
all you can do is live right now.
Right, but you, but that a lot, but right now is typically. As much as you're shifting around different people and friends and stuff, it is kind of a solo because it's everything. It's also solo, which is the whole dichotomy of like existentialism is it's like everything matters, but nothing matters. And that it's was, all we want is to have one thing fucking matter.
But everything matters.
Yeah.
And I think what it can when you get to the really high levels, you'll be like, because for us, I think I share a lot of your tendencies and it's like we have friendships that matter, but like friendships are great. We love friendships, but it's also like the romantic thing is like
the end all be all.
Well, yeah, but yeah. It's not.
It's not.
No, the friendships matter. Like you can say that the relationship matters more, like a lot more, but and it does matter more because that's your person that you like sleep in the bed with and whatever. Yeah. But like everything matters. Like your friendships.
But your brain
matter.
Wants your ego wants you to choose one thing that matters because it feels good to kill the snake to protect the monkey. It's harder.
I don't know if it feels good to kill the snake. It just feels good to be with the monkey. And God forbid the monkey gets eaten by the snake.
Right.
I don't care that much about killing the snake. I just don't want my monkey to be killed.
I don't want my monkey to be killed because my monkey has made a commitment to never leave me, which is a commitment that can't really be made. And exactly. That is really painful.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a real commitment.
And that's why, I mean, all that old stoicism, right? One of the stoic practices that people can't do and is really hard to do is the idea of like, if you have children, you have to envision your children dying. Like you have to envision and then you have to survive. Because if you can't survive without them dying, you're actually not a good parent.
Brutal. Alan Watts, letting go.
Yeah.
I listen to that every night to go to bed to help me
same
with the idea of letting go.
Equinox, and that's why I got to quit Equinox because letting go doesn't seep in when you're around a bunch of sex pots at the gym.
No way, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's
hard to listen to like letting go when you see a bunch of girls in the fucking shrivel up ass.
Why do they got to do the shrivel up ass shorts? What is that for? Why do we have to see that? Just wear no pants.
Dude, you get dorky Asian women wearing those. Like,
you get everybody wearing the shriveled up ass things. I'm against them. It's too distracting. It's crazy.
That's the problem. And that is the New York. The shriveled up ass shorts is
it's
the
fine
big
to do that, but
problem.
Be okay with somebody finger banging you from the back. And then don't get mad at me to them, okay? If you're going to walk around naked, you're going to activate men's cocks.
Right.
Don't agree with that for the statement, for the
I don't
courts.
Agree with that. As it comes to entering the public record, I don't.
If they have the shriveled up butt shorts and a man has a hard on, both are equal. Even Stevens. If he tries to put it in you, that's not okay. But if he has a hard cock and you have a shriveled butt cheek yoga pants, even Stevens.
Yeah.
Boners should be legal.
I just think that's the New York problem where it's just like everyone, the competition is to be the most ripe partner or the most ripe. Like object of desire, physical, and that's why it's the problem. Because like,
in New York.
Because it's not about the physical,
and that's why. But then New York you walk past those girls, and they see. I mean, and you see a shriveled up. You see, you know, they walk past you, and you are like
raising
an iron
ass.
Woman.
Yeah,
and you see them go a little bit like. Ah.
You're an iron woman.
Yeah, I see those gooey girls walk by me, and I'm like, you know, say something, and I can see them be a little bit like, ah, what do I have? Just tits. You know what I mean? Like,
good.
You have to be. It's all about being able to kill anybody at any given. That's what to strive for, not to be a
No, I think that they probably see you and they're like, oh, she found her purpose. My purpose is just flaunting my ass at Equinox.
Well, I just worry about these women getting older because I've
they
gone.
They won't.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. Obviously they will. That's the problem. And that's that. But that's what we all have to worry about, is like, this is more my struggle than yours. But like, I need to constantly picture myself as an 80-year-old and be like, what really matters to me?
I always picture myself as an 80-year-old. Yeah, that is because I grew up really ugly. Mm-hmm. And then I like had a minor bout of being semi-attractive. So I'm totally able to go back to the ugly. I mean, it's, but I have friends that have been hot their entire lives. And I'm like, you got to prepare. It's rough. Just like, having people,
I've seen it.
It's crazy. Just having people look at you and go, ugh, is tough.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm hoping to just become a Native American chief when I get older.
Well, right. I can tell you more another time.
Yeah, we gotta do this again.
I have more on this, and I feel like I turned up when we were now. It's hard for me to get into these things. It's it's like a switch.
All of us are like that.
Yeah.
We'll do a round two.
Oh, sure. I mean, I could tell you off mic. Nah.
But don't you have to go to your thing?
I'm out of here. Whatever. This is improv. We're improv.
But aren't you like paying to go?
Yeah.
Because I have to go to this thing.
You're allowed to end it. You want.
Maybe I'm going to miss it anyway.
What is it?
It's a hair.
Oh, I am done. I missed. I mean, I'm late. I can show up.
Can you take the train with me?
Where are you going?
Down to Bond Street.
Let's fucking go.
All right. Well, we're going to continue this and, you know.
No, well, I don't want to talk to you about this. Then we're doing it round two.
Okay, we'll do round two.
We'll talk about other stuff.
All right, follow Dan Janine on everything. He's very funny. He's the fucking best.
No gay shit.
See you next week.
Although, I do have gay shit coming out.
Can't wait to see it.
All right.